The text of Scripture that I want us just to look at tonight and base our message upon really consists of seven words that you find there in the middle part of verse number 19 of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it simply says, a friend of publicans and sinners. A friend of publicans and sinners. Now, speaking of the Lord, the psalmist says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. And those words really teach us how God can turn the wrath of man, even the wrath of the most ungodliest of people, he can turn their wrath to his praise. And we see an example of this in our text this evening here, where the Lord Jesus Christ is described in verse number 19 of Matthew chapter 11, as it says there in our text, as a friend of publicans and sinners. In this passage of Scripture before us this evening that we've read from, the Lord Jesus Christ here is describing those in his day when he ministered who rejected him as Savior. They were those who would not repent of their sin. They would not turn away from their sin. And thus they were under the sentence of God's judgment for sin and hell. And God always judges sin. And the punishment for sin is a lost eternity in hell itself. And you see that from what he says to them in verse number 21 and verse number 22 of the chapter. He says, woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which are done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. Here were a people, despite great blessing amongst them, who had not repented of their sin. Here were a people who had known, yes, great blessing in their day and generation, yet they were under the sentence of divine wrath and judgment for their sin. We see also here from verse 16 and verse 17 of the chapter, are such are likened unto children that could never be pleased. Look at what Christ says to them and about them in verse 16 and 17. He says, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you and ye have not lamented. And here were a people basically, and they were unpleased. They were displeased at God's way of salvation, that way being them repenting of their sin and turning by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. They were displeased at this. This was something that grated against the flesh and the natural heart of man. We see further as the Lord further describes these people. He tells us here were a people and they had no respect for both John the Baptist and for Christ himself. They rejected the gospel and consequently they scorned God's faithful servants. Look at verse 18. They called John the Baptist a devil. It says, for John came neither eating and drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. They thought of John the Baptist being like a devil, yet what did Christ say of John the Baptist? He said, there was none greater than John the Baptist, a great faithful servant of God, greatly owned and blessed of God. Yet these people who had known the mercy of God and the ministry of Christ amongst them would not repent of their sin. They were displeased at the gospel of Christ, had no time for the gospel, nor had they any time for God's most faithful servant, John the Baptist himself. But we see how they go further in their scorn of the faithful preacher of God's word. Not only do they liken John unto a devil, but they say some awful words about Jesus Christ himself. They describe Christ as a glutton, as a winebibber. And then, as it says in our text, the friend of publicans and sinners, it says in verse 19 of the chapter, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. In other words, Christ was affable to them. He walked amongst them. He was a man of the people in his day. Yet it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. Here we see the ridicule of the Christ rejecters. Such see no beauty in Christ. Such see no glory in Christ. And my Christ to them is but a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. And people, yes, these words were spoken with hatred against Christ. They were spoken with malice and scorn against Christ. When they spoke of him here in this verse and said, "Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners." But in particular, those final words there in verse 19 where they liken Christ and speak of him as a friend of publicans and sinners. Yes, although they were spoken in jest and in scorn and in ridicule and in malice, those very same words, they do highlight to us a great gospel truth. In fact, the great message of the gospel, the great truth of the gospel, that Christ is but indeed the friend of sinners. And people, here we see how God can cause the very wrath of men, the wrath of the most ungodliest of people, to praise him and to redound to the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Such is the power of God. And tonight I want us then to consider this great fact, that Christ is indeed the friend of sinners. People, tonight as you sit in this gospel meeting, get your eyes off man, off self, of the world around you. Get your eyes upon Christ, the Son of God. And as we view Christ tonight, oh, that you would see him as he is portrayed through us in the Holy Scriptures of God, as indeed the friend of sinners. You think of how Joseph Scriven described the Lord Jesus Christ. That great hymn writer of a bygone day who had many trials and tribulations, he spake of Christ. And this is what he said. He said, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear." He knew Christ experientially as his friend, as the friend of sinners. Again, you think of the words of the spouse in the Song of Solomon. Speaking of Christ, how does she describe Christ? She says, "This is my beloved. This is my friend." They knew the friendship of Christ. They viewed Christ as their beloved, as their friend. Men and women, young people in the meeting tonight, what think ye of Christ? Tell me tonight, is he your friend? As we were singing about earlier on, is that the experience of your heart? The friend of sinners. Is he your friend tonight in this meeting? As we would think then tonight, as Christ, as a sinner's friend, there are three things I want you to note in connection with this text. Notice first of all here with me the character of Christ, the sinner's friend. The character of Christ, the sinner's friend. You'll notice there in verse number 19 that Christ is described as the Son of Man. And then he's also referred to as a man. It says, "The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold a man." You think about those words there, the Son of Man, and that little statement there, "behold a man." What does that remind us of regarding the Lord Jesus Christ? It reminds us of his incarnation. The very fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was none other than God manifest in the flesh. The Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus and says, "Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." Who was Christ? He was God manifest in the flesh. Yes, Christ was miraculously conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. And then he was born in Bethlehem. Turn over to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 1, and the verse number 35, there you have reference to that great miracle of Christ being conceived in the womb of the Holy Ghost, or in the womb of the Virgin Mary by the Holy Ghost. It says in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." What a miracle that was. Go on over to Luke chapter 2 and the verses 7 and 10. It says of the Virgin Mary, "And she brought forth her firstborn son," that is Christ, "and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them." In the end, verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And those words, they speak to us, yes, of the incarnation of Jesus Christ coming into this world. He was miraculously conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and in God's appointed time, he was born into this world in Bethlehem. He was God manifest in the flesh, and in this world Christ lived for some 33 years. And people, all that we see in God, we see in Christ, because he was God manifest in the flesh. All that you view of God in the Scriptures, you view also and you see also in Christ. Yes, God is eternal, so also is Christ. In Hebrews 13, verse 8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. You and I, we are all creatures of time. Whereas Christ is without beginning of years and without end of years. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem, but he existed in eternity past, long before Bethlehem's manger. Think of what John says of Christ in John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word, that's Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Christ is eternal. God is eternal. Christ is eternal. Also, we can say further tonight, as God is holy, so also Christ is holy. He is without blemish, without sin. He could say in the Gospel of John, he could say, I do always those things that please him. He pleased the Father perfectly. He did no sin. He knew no sin. He could do no sin. But how vastly different the Lord Jesus Christ is from you and I and all the rest of humanity. We all are guilty of sin. We all are sinners by nature, by practice and thought and word and deed. Because of the fall of our first parents and because of our sin, we are condemned to hell, condemned to eternal judgment because of our sin. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The psalmist says, the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's the sentence, the judgment of hell that we deserve justly for our sins. But Christ was without sin. He was impeccable. He did no sin. He could do no sin. He is eternal. Also, we can say that God is all-powerful, and so is Christ. Christ is all-powerful. Turn back there to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 8, and here you have one of many instances in the Bible of his almighty power. Matthew chapter 8 and the verse number 16. It says, when the even was come, it was the evening of the day, and it says, they brought unto him, that's the Lord Jesus, many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And there you see an instance of the almighty power of Christ. He delivered those that were demon-possessed. He healed those who were sick. And my, we read of him in the Scriptures, stilling the storms, meeting the need, raising the dead, performing many, many mighty miracles. Oh, as you view Christ tonight, see him as the great I Am. There's no limit to Christ's power. But what are we in the sight of God? We are weak. We are helpless, we are poor, and we are needy. We can do nothing. Without the Lord's help, we are totally unable to do anything. For the Bible says of the Lord that in him we live and move and have our being. And we're totally bankrupt as far as dealing with the awful problem and the ruin and the plight of sin by nature and practice in our hearts and lives. We can do nothing with our sin by our own might or strength. The Bible says that we are without strength. But oh, see Christ tonight as almighty. And we can say further tonight that God is all-knowing. And so also is Christ. Christ is all-knowing. In John's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 25, you read these words regarding Christ. It says, he knew, it says, what was in man. Not just outwardly, but inwardly. He knows the thoughts, the thinkings of all. In Jeremiah 17, verse 10, he says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins. And my Christ, he knows everything about you and I tonight. There's nothing hidden from Christ's all-seeing eye. He knows all about our trials. He knows all about our pains, our heartaches, our woes, our cares. What an encouragement that is for us in the battles of life. He says to you and I in our troubles and our trials, he says, I know. But also he knows all about our sins. We cannot hide our sin from the Lord. The Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. And that is one thing you and I cannot do. We cannot hide our sins from God. Friend, in the meeting tonight, the Lord knows your heart, and he knows if you're saved or if you are unsaved. He knows if you're hiding behind a false profession of salvation. He knows if you've trusted him, if you've embraced him as Savior. Oh, he sees us true and true. Oh, see the character tonight of Christ, the sinner's friend. But not only do we see the character of Christ, the sinner's friend. Notice, secondly, the manner in which Christ becomes the sinner's friend. The manner in which Christ becomes the sinner's friend. In Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, you read these tremendous words about Christ that says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And those words tell us how Christ came to this earth for the specific purpose, the chief purpose, the ultimate purpose of saving sinners, poor and needy, hell-deserving sinners such as you and I. And in fulfilling this great purpose, this great plan of the Lord in redemption, in love and grace, Christ went willingly to the cross of Calvary. He could say, greater love of no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. He says, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And he went willingly to the cross of Calvary. And the Bible says this about Christ, who was sinless, who was spotless, who is the great I am. Says he poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He became identified with sinners at the cross. And on the cross of Calvary, in that middle tree, outside the city of Jerusalem, between heaven and earth, he bore upon himself the wrath of God and hell that we deserve for our sins. As our substitute, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And by the shedding of his blood, by his death, he graciously provided and he made a way, he opened up a way for you and I to be saved from the awful ruin and plight of our sin. This was the purpose of the coming of Christ, the Son of Man, into this world. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He came to save from sin. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only Savior of sinners. The Bible says he, his own self, bare our sins in his own body to the tree. And friend, by his sacrifice, he satisfied God's justice. He quenched the wrath of God. And he fulfilled the plan and purpose of God, in love and in mercy, making a way whereby you and I can be saved, reconciled with God, delivered from the awful ruin and plight of our sins. The hymn writer could speak of Christ and say, the love that Jesus had for me, to suffer on the cruel tree, that I a ransomed soul might be, is more than tongue can tell. People, this is the love beyond compare. That this is how Christ became the sinner's friend. You say, how did Christ become the sinner's friend? See him at Calvary. See him at the cross. See him, that bleeding spectacle of agony and woe, shedding his blood, pouring out his life unto death. Paul could speak of Christ and he could say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
The Bible says of Christ, the Son of Man, that he came to give his life a ransom for the many. That is how Christ became the sinner's friend. He didn't have to become the sinner's substitute on the cross. But he went willingly to this world, came into this scene of time, went willingly to the cross. He never held back from the cross. And even when others tried to hinder him and stop him from going to the cross, he told them, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God." He was compelled by love for sinners like you and I to go to the cross. But well as dying for us on the cross as the sinner's friend, he goes further. For he calls us by his Spirit to himself for salvation. You see, he does not leave us to go on in our sin. No, rather, he causes us to see our sinful, lost condition. He opens the eyes of our spiritual understanding. And he causes us to see our need of Christ. And he calls us, he invites us to come to him, the Son of God, for salvation. Look at how he makes mention of that great call and invitation down at the end of this chapter. In verse number 28 of Matthew chapter number 11, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And here you see how Christ becomes the sinner's friend, the Son of God, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the altogether lovely one. He invites sinners, sinners like you and I, to come unto him for salvation. In our text here tonight, in Matthew 11, verse 19, he is described there as the friend of publicans and sinners. You think of that statement. In Bible times, what were publicans? They were tax collectors. They collected taxes for the Roman government of occupation and Israel at that time, and they were hated, despised by the Jews. They were considered to be worse than the very dogs of the street, so to speak. Yet what does it say of Christ? He's the friend of publicans. Then it goes on, it says he's a friend of sinners. The word sinner is a word that we find many times in the Bible, but here in the context of this verse, it really means a notorious sinner, a notable sinner, a deep, deep-dyed sinner. Maybe people that others in society would brush past and have nothing to do with whatsoever, would turn away from them with disdain. Yet it says here of Christ, the Son of God, that he is the friend not only of publicans, but he's the friend of sinners. And my, when he was here on earth, the Lord, he called such to himself for salvation. You see that in the Scriptures. Turn with me, please, over to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. And here you read of Christ passing through the city of Jericho. And he meets with a man by the name of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was a publican. He was a tax collector. He was hated, he was despised by the Jews and people of his society, but he was not despised by Christ. Look at verse number 5 of Luke chapter 19. It says, "And when Jesus came to the place," remember, Zacchaeus was up the sycamore tree, it says of Christ, "he looked up and he saw him." He knew all about him. "And he said unto Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And that day, as Christ passed through Jericho, what did he do? He saved Zacchaeus. He called Zacchaeus to come to himself for salvation. He says, "Make haste. Don't delay, Zacchaeus. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house." The Lord did not pass this man by. Turn again over a bit further to John's Gospel, chapter number 4. And here you read of the Lord Jesus meeting with the woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, the woman who was a notable sinner, a deep-dyed sinner. But you'll see here the love of Christ, the friendship of Christ to this woman. The Lord calls her to himself for salvation, and she's saved. And look at the invite he gives to her in verse 14 of John chapter 4. He says to her, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And that day the Lord met that woman at the point of her need. He was gracious to her. He was merciful to her. And he saved her. Saved her that day from her sin. He called her to himself for salvation. And there we see the friendship of Christ to sinners, to publicans, to deep-dyed sinners. And what a picture that is to you and I of Christ tonight. Friend in the meeting tonight, whoever you are still unsaved, let me say this. Christ, the Son of God. Christ, the friend of sinners. He calls you individually. He calls you personally. He calls you in love and kindness to himself for salvation. No matter who you are. No matter what your sin is or your sin has been. He says, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast it. Oh, as you think of Christ tonight, see him as the friend of sinners. His character, the manner of him becoming the sinner's friend. One final thought, and it is this. The outcome of Christ's friendship to sinners. What's the outcome of it? Well, friend, when you heed the Lord's call to salvation, then you trust him as Savior, he will pardon all your sins, every single one of them. That's the gospel. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us, it says, from all sin. He brings you into the family of God. He brings you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's marvelous light. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And when you trust him as Savior, he gives you grace upon grace to repent of your sin and to live for his honor and glory. He will break, yes, the fetters of sin in your life. He'll change your life for good. Turn over to the little book of Titus over in the middle of the New Testament, Titus chapter number 3, and look at how Paul testifies of this fact in his own life. Titus chapter 3 and verses 3, 4, and 5. He says, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. And after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness as we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. There he was telling how God, the Lord Jesus, changed his life. And the Lord changes lives. He breaks the power of canceled sin. The hymn writer says he sets the captive free. And then in being your friend, my, the Lord will be with you in life. He will help you in the trials of life. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. And being your friend, he prays for you in heaven. The Bible says he ever liveth to make intercession for the people of God. What a blessing, what a privilege to know that Christ is praying for you in heaven when you trust him as your Savior. And then when Christ is your Savior and friend, he'll be with you in death. He will bring your soul safely into heaven to bask in God's eternal light. He says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And then in the day of judgment, Christ, yes, will own you as his child. And your body and your soul will never be tormented in hell for sin. Rather, it will be safe from judgment forevermore. In Matthew chapter 25 and the verse number 34, there you read of Christ on the day of judgment addressing those who are his friends. And this is what it says. It says, then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. What a friend Christ is. People, these are the unspeakable blessings of knowing Christ as Savior. knowing Christ as our friend, and are telling me tonight in this meeting, is Christ your Savior? Is Christ your friend tonight? You may have many friends in this world, but the most important friend of all is Christ. Is he your friend tonight? Can you say of Christ, this is my beloved, this is my friend? Can you say with the hymn writer, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear? Oh, if not, come to him tonight. He does call. And trust him as your Savior. Now, years ago, there was a certain hospital in England, and it gave out a loaf of bread to anyone who passed by, who knocked at its door and asked. No one was turned away. Everyone was given a loaf of bread. No one was refused. That hospital was called St. Cross's Hospital. And friend, because of the cross work of Jesus Christ, you can come to him by faith. You can ask him to save you personally from your sins. And when you do, he will not refuse you. He will not turn you away. The hymn writer says, did ever sinner find that he would not take him? And the answer was the statement, no, not one. No, not one. Praise God, when you trust Christ as Savior, you'll find him. You'll find him to be that friend that sticketh closer than any brother. He'll forgive all your sins. He'll save your soul. He'll keep you in life. He'll bless you in life. Give you hope for time, hope for eternity. And bring you one day into heaven's glory for good. Oh, don't go away tonight without the Lord. Trust him. Make him your friend for time and all of eternity. We're going to close our meeting with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee, Lord, tonight for thy presence with us. We thank thee tonight for the great statement of the gospel that Christ is indeed the friend of publicans and sinners. We thank thee, Lord, for each one in this meeting tonight who knows Christ as their friend, as their Savior, as their Lord and Redeemer. We thank thee, O God, that this is a friendship that nothing can break. There's no power on earth, no power in hell, not even death itself can sever this blood-sealed friendship that Christ has with his people. Help us to rejoice in this as your people. Help us to confide in it, to console in it. And help us, Lord, to make much of Christ to others, to make him known as the friend of sinners. But Lord, if there's any in the gathering tonight and they're not saved, they know about Christ, but they've never trusted him. He's not their friend. He's not their Savior. Oh God, may they not leave tonight without the Lord, but may they come and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. Answer prayer. Take us to our homes in safety. Give us traveling mercies in our homeward journey. Bless us throughout this week that lies before us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the abiding fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all who know and love thee this night and always. Amen.